It's good to be together this morning, everyone here and online. Today is a special second Sunday in Advent. Advent is a season of expectant waiting, and at our best, we are waiting to celebrate Jesus' birth and waiting for Jesus' second coming again, waiting in hope for that. Except that for many of us, hoping for Jesus' return is barely on our radar. Whether it's other distractions or other priorities, we have some things we'd like to get done first. And there's this Romans 12 battle in us from what our flesh wants in the world and what God offers us that's better. And sometimes, if we're honest, we think that our ways are better than God's ways. Well, this passage today has insights for us about all of this, which we will explore a bit of. And to lead up to that, let's start by thinking together about hope. If we were to have a huge birthday cake here on December 25 to celebrate Jesus' birthday by our customs, first of all, that would be a lot of candles, right? I'm not a historian, I'm not a mathematician. But Jesus, before Jesus was ever born of Mary, Scripture says Jesus was with God and the Holy Spirit was with God before the creation of the world. So that's a lot. We're going to need a bigger cake. Like, that's a lot of candles, right? For ourselves, when we celebrate a birthday, before we blow out the candles on our birthday cakes, we have a custom, or at least we used to before COVID grossed us out to the idea of people spitting on our food that we're about to eat. Right? We have a custom, we make a wish. And I wonder how many of us here and online have ever wished for something before we've blown out our birthday candles. Raise your hand if you have. That's almost all. Okay, that's a lot of us. And you can put it in the chat for those online. And I'm curious now, how many of us who raised our hands can remember what we wished for? Right. So this is my hunch here. I have a hunch that we have been wasting our wishes. I believe God wants to give us a lasting hope, starting now. My sermon title is Wasted Hope versus Resting Faithful Hope. We humans can be really good at hoping in the wrong things. We put hope in our circumstances, like if only my team wins the game, especially if it's against the Netherlands yesterday. Right? But play it out. If our team wins, how long does the victory last until it turns hollow? Or worse, we put our hope in people. How many people here have ever been disappointed in another person? Yeah, you can put that in the chat too if you'd like. Because our hope is not meant to be in other people. We waste our hope on success, experiences, and people, all of which can be good and valuable, and yet they're less than God's best for us. So let's explore two aspects of the hope that God is giving us today. The first element of our hope from God is that it rests. This is the hope of contentment, where we are like a weaned child resting in God's arms. We aren't grasping, we aren't complaining, we aren't demanding. We trust. We seek to be obedient. We rest. I love how Psalm 130 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits for the Lord, and in his word I put my hope. The word here especially means God's covenant promises. That's going to be important to us later. My commentary says these words, I wait here, mean in hopeful expectation. So first, I invite you to look with me at two reasons from this passage why we can be content and wait and rest. And Neil, I invite you to show the first slide. Verse 2, The Spirit of the Lord, in this case that's God, will rest on him. That's Jesus. God's Spirit rests on Jesus. Well, remember when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came down like a dove and rested on Jesus. Well, for those of us who have been baptized, who have chosen to follow Jesus, we too have been given God's Spirit. Whether we felt different or not, whether it was a dramatic experience or not, God's Spirit is in you if you have chosen Christ. Now, why does this matter? Well, if Jesus, who is fully God, needed God's Spirit resting on him and empowering him, how much more do we? What an overlooked grace that we are given this Spirit, which this passage says is a Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. A rested hope remembers God's Spirit resting on Jesus and in us. I'd like to show you one more point of rested hope from this passage. Neil, if I can have the next slide, please. Verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner. This was a flag or a symbol on a pole that was used by armies to rally all the warriors together. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. God's resting place will be glorious. In our time, when politicians seek to devour one another on both sides of the aisle, in our time when it is common to take the life of another, whether that be with a gun or with a tongue, in our time when countries and churches and families are at war, God nudges us to remember that our hope is not in people or circumstances, but in our God who is making all things new. God promises us a glorious resting place where animals and people will no longer harm or destroy, but where God's peace will be everywhere. Can you picture God's glorious future that is promised to us? And this future is far better than anything we have ever experienced before. Neil, slide number 3, please. Verse 9, they, all the people and animals, will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Why? Because for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, what did verse 2 say about knowledge? God's Spirit that rests on Jesus and is in us is a spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. So at the very least, then, we have undervalued this knowledge of the Lord given by God's Spirit that will fill the earth, bringing God's lasting peace. A rested hope values God's knowledge and God's glorious resting place. Well, let's move to the second element about the hope that God is giving us today. Faithful. The book of Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The evidence of things not yet seen. Neil, slide number 4, please. This slide is the second sentence of verse 3 talking about Jesus. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. Jesus shows us a better way. Get this with me. It is a grace that I am not judged by Jesus for what he sees and hears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. Not our righteousness, ever. God isn't squinting, trying to make out the letters of the eye exam. God doesn't need glasses. We do. God sees clearly and yet judges the needy with the righteousness of Christ. And we are to be people of faith, assurance, in our hope that God will have mercy on us. Because God has promised, and God is faithful. For some of us, God's faithfulness makes us fearful. We know what we've done and who we've done it to. And better approaches from this passage would be to let God's faithfulness inspire us as a people filled with God's spirit and knowledge, to humbly be people of God's mercy and peace, and to worship and obey God, and to be people who pray boldly because we have a rested, faithful hope in God. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. God sees righteousness in us and in others that we have trouble seeing. And God is faithful. Hear God's faithfulness in verse 1, and then we'll close with a takeaway. Neil, the last slide, please. Verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, 2 weeks ago, we thought about John 15. Jesus was the vine and we were the branches. Here, notice the capital letter B, indicating that the branch in this case is Jesus. For anyone here who is at their wit's end, who doesn't see a way out, who has lost all hope, I invite you to notice with me that out of a stump, something cut off, something that looks dead and hopeless and defeated, the people of Israel, descendants of David and his father, Jesse, these people were in despair. And God sees differently than we do. God loves bringing new life out of what looks dead. If it has felt impossible to hope, if you have felt cut off and alone, if you are wondering how God can ever redeem this world, well, I have good news for us today, church, that God is not only able to do this, God has promised that out of Jesse's lineage that looked hopeless would come a Savior who does not judge by what he sees and hears. God, who promised, is faithful, and we beheld his glory. When I asked God what I was to preach to you from this passage, the first words impressed on my spirit were the same as always: I love them. And then God said, I want to fill them with a lasting hope that will not fade or decay. I am faithful, and I will do it. If God is in this space, which he is, and if God wants to fill you with a lasting hope, which I believe God not only wants to do, but is promising to do for us, and if God is faithful, which this passage and others show us that absolutely God is faithful, then what is our next faithful step in living a little bit more like Christ right now? And what difference might your faithful hope in God make to someone else? I pray that we choose wisely. And yet I do not place my hope in people or in circumstances. I hope in God, who promised. Amen.